Pop quiz. What percentage of professing Christians were saved before the age of 14? Next one. Vicky, you're cheating. You were there. See, she had the quiz before. See, 85% of professing Christians received the gospel, received Jesus as their Lord and Savior by the time they were 14 years old. Now, not to say that ministry to teens and to tweens and to 30s and 40s and 50s and seniors aren't all, those ministries aren't important. But what we see is that ministry to those in that 4 to 14 bracket is so, so critical. This morning, John Peterson was sharing about the persecuted church in Turkey. Who was it that actually stood up in his family and was the one who was the most out there with his faith and challenged the rest of his family to follow that example? It was a 9-year-old boy. Okay, next question. How much time does the average child spend per day, that's every day, on average, watching TV or using digital media? That's a game console, that's, you know, even a phone. What? C. 8 hours per day. It's a full-time job. Watch, dealing with their digital media is indeed a full-time job for the current generation. Okay. Something to think about there. Next one. Question number 3. What electronic device do 51% of children under the age of 12 say is the most important to them? B. Cell phone. You know why it's important? Connection. That's how they connect. That's how they relate to one another. Via phone. We live in an isolated society here in America. It used to be we interacted a lot more. And now we used to have at least, mom used to be, average was stay-at-home mom. That hasn't been so for a long time. And our children need and desire relationship. But they live in a digital age. So the phone seems to be the number one. Okay, next. Question 4 is, who said a child of 5, if properly instructed, can as truly believe and be regenerated as an adult? A. Billy Graham, B. Charles Spurgeon, or C. Billy Sunday. How many, before you answer the question aloud, just quietly, just silently, who here has heard of all three of these gentlemen? Okay, as many hands as I'd hoped to go up there, but Billy Graham, probably the premier evangelist of the last century. Charles Spurgeon, probably the premier preacher of the mid-1800s. And Billy Sunday, I don't know a lot about Billy Sunday, honestly, but I do know that he was a powerful evangelist and preacher and teacher. He was kind of a contemporary of Billy Graham, but a little bit earlier. He kind of came a little bit earlier. So that's those three. Now, which one of them said this? It was B. Charles Spurgeon, a pastor in the mid-1800s and a theologian who said, a child of five, if properly instructed, you know, kids can come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Okay, next. Last question. It's only five questions in our quiz. At what age are people most likely to respond positively to the gospel? Now, this is a gimme. Come on, this softball question to you. B, between ages 4 and 14. 85% have received by the time they're 12. But the most responsive age group is that 4 to 14. This is the bracket where we really need to be reaching out. Not that we give up on any other bracket of kids, but honestly, we need to be doing that. Now, what's one of the things that's important for that is, one, where's Tana? Tana's down in the nursery. Hello, Tana, I'm waving. Tana's working with our kids on Sunday morning. She's teaching Sunday school in the Sunday school hour. Now here she is in the nursery. So she's not in the nursery every week, but she does her rotation. This ministry is extremely important. Maybe you could be part of the rotation in the nursery. Maybe you know some kids that could be here for Sunday school. Tana would love to teach them. And what happens if we get more kids than what Tana can teach? Guess what? We'll get more teachers. God will provide. You might be that teacher. I don't know. But bring the kids. Bring the kids for Sunday school. We've got some great adult classes going, and that's great. We want to disciple and raise up all of you so that you all become have a stronger walk with God. But it's the kids that really need to be hearing the Word of God, that we really need to be focusing our attention on if we're truly going to impact the world for Christ. We have to get the gospel to the kids. So, that was one of the things that we had as part of District Conference. We had a wonderful teaching on that as one of the workshops. And everybody from Northbrook, except Dan, attended that one, who was part of that. We even had a couple of extras that came in. While we had our four delegates that were there, you know, myself and, John wasn't there, sorry, but Jane was there. We had Jane and Tana and Fred and Vicky and Donna and myself. Yeah, is that everybody that we have? Yeah. And we were there, and it was just a really good thing. But you know what? If all we do is go to a meeting, and the church, and we don't do anything with that information that we got, it really wasn't worthwhile. So while we're encouraged and blessed, it is now our job to come back to you and say, hey, we want your kids. Donna wants your kids right now. Donna, take the kids, you're dismissed for children's church. Now, if you're older, you're welcome to stay in here and listen to the message. But Donna's taking the youngins. So sing. If you're helping her, you do that. But if you can stay here too, up to you. Pick on him. Okay. We're going to be continuing on in our timeline with the early church. We're going from Palm Sunday right on through the Ascension and then to Pentecost Sunday. And as we go through this timeline right now, we're dealing with that fishing trip that we talked about last week. Well, we're still on that trip, and Jesus has a conversation with Peter. So, let's read this. So in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, it's going to start with the 15th verse. I'd ask that you turn with me there in your own Bibles. You know, it's good to underline, highlight, little notes here and there, but we also have it up on the screen. Okay. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know..." Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This is the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" This is John, the writer of the Gospel of John. Okay. When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testified to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them was written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we come before you this morning. We give you praise. Lord, we thank you that you speak to us daily, that you speak to us through your word, that we don't have to go to an intermediary to speak to you, but just come right to you. And we can pick up your word at any time. And you can speak to us there also. Lord, we thank you for that privilege that we have. That blessing. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me right now as I come to preach. I ask that you would touch me and use me so that your message might go to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're continuing on with this fishing trip, and they've had their lunch, and now we have Peter and Jesus out walking on the beach. In John, he just loves Jesus so much, and he's just kind of the mascot of the group of disciples, if you would. He's the youngest of the group, and you know, he's just kind of like hanging back, just kind of following along. He doesn't want to be left behind. He's interested. He's curious. He wants to know what's going on. He's nosy. But it's Jesus and Simon Peter having a conversation. And I don't believe we have the entirety of the conversation here. But what we have here is the salient, important points. The part that was really driven home. And what we have of this conversation is on the topic of, do you love me? Kind of an interesting question, isn't it? Said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Now, could have been asking the question, do you love me more than all these fish that you just caught? And boats and fishing? Could be that he's referring back to Peter's, you know, his strident declaration, you know, at the Last Supper, that, you know, everybody else may desert you, but I never will. And he said, no, you're going to deny me three times. It might be that one that he's referring to. So, he's bringing that back up. He says, do you love me more than these? He's using the word for love, agapeo. Now, my Greek is terrible, so don't trust my pronunciation. But it's from the Greek word agape for love. And there are multiple words in the Greek for love. Each one talks about a different way. How many of you have the definition of love that I have trained you in memorized? Love is selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. That's agape love. Okay. This is the love that doesn't require a response. This is the one that's a decision. That you can love your enemy. That's agape. They don't have to love you back. This is the love where we make the decision, I'm going to love you. And this is what the word that's used here. You know that I love you, agape. And the word for know here oida, which is intellectual knowledge. You know this. I read it somewhere. Okay. Second time he asks him. See, says, you know that I, do you love me? And he said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And he said, you know that I love you. Again, both times, it's agape love and it's intellectual knowledge. But here the third time, when Peter was hurt, he was responded back. But the question was a little bit different too, that Jesus asked. Simon John, do you love me? Use phileo. This is brotherly love. Wow! Brotherly love. The love of relationship. The love of shared experience. Love of shared interests. You know, and this time, the knowledge, the one is one of knowledge gained through experience. The Greek word is enosko. Enosko. This time, that word is knowledge gained through experience. So we have experiential love. We have experiential knowledge. What does that mean? Well, it's kind of a cultural thing, this threes. You know, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. Legal way to say, we're divorced. So, when Peter denied Jesus three times, that was kind of technically a legal divorce. Now, the reinstatement, three times, is bringing it back. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And each time, getting that response. Now, it's also asking the question in such a way to drive home, are you really sure you want to do this? Anybody here ever been asked to do something and then have the person come back, now, are you sure you want to do that? And then a third time been asked, okay, now you sure? Because after this, there's no turning around. This is where we're at here. Jesus is laying it out before Peter. He's calling him, follow me. But this time, there's no going back to fishing. This time, he's going to step out into his call. And it said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. How did Peter die? Anybody? He was crucified under Nero. He died a martyr's death. He asked personally to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel he was worthy to be crucified as Jesus had been crucified. Oh Lord, you can't wash my feet. Peter never kind of got beyond that. He had some issues. He never really felt worthy. But Jesus called him, so he must have been. Jesus called him to serve and said, follow me. And Peter, being the great man of foot and mouth disease that he is, said, what about him? What about him? Hold it. Peter wasn't dumb as a rock, even though that's what Peter met Petra, rock. No, no. He actually had a couple things going for him. He's like, hold it. Stretch out my hands. Be taking my... You're talking about me getting crucified here. I just saw that happen. If I follow you, that's my destination. What about him? Now me, being the eldest brother, was often asked to do something by my parents, and I'd turn around and say, what about her? I didn't have any brothers, so I told my sister, what about her? What about them, my sister? This is your job. You do it. That's exactly where we're at here. Peter's received the call, has committed himself to the call. Then he's going, well, what about him? And Jesus comes in. Don't worry about him. You need to be concerned about you and your call. What happens to him doesn't matter to you. God God has a call for you. Each and every one of you here. And I guarantee you, it is different than anybody else's. Jesus will take you and will take each of us on a different journey, just as he did with Peter. Then he took John on. Peter and John's journeys were very different. Even though the call apparently sounded the same, follow me. But it wasn't the same. Each one is called to their own journey with Jesus. Each one is called to their own trials and tribulations. And each one of us will have different ones. There is not a one of us here who received Jesus as Lord and Savior that will not have trials and tribulations, times of testing and refining. And you look at, when we sit and we look at what we're all going through, and we look to God and we say, but what about them? They're not having any problems. And God's telling us here, what are you looking over there for? This is between you and me. It's not about somebody else's walk, somebody else's call. I'm calling you. Don't be all concerned about them. Really? I always hated it when I got that answer. Don't you worry about them. They have their own jobs to do. You do your job. Anybody else get that piece of advice from their parents growing up? Or from a boss? From some... Well, here we get it, right from Jesus, right from God. We're called, just like Peter is. But don't be worried about somebody else. It may look like they're without trouble or issue, but we don't see what's happening in their lives from the same angle as from the inside. Trust me, they will go through difficulties. John did. I mean, John was the gregarious one. He was the one that liked to hang out with everybody. He was the one that leaned up against Jesus. He liked closeness. He liked fellowship. So what happened to John? What was he? Oh, they put him by himself on an island to rot. Okay, the punishment, or the trial, again, tailor-made to be what could be the worst thing for that particular individual. That sounds familiar to anybody? Maybe what you've gone through in your life? Yeah. We all go through different stuff. But we're called to go through it. So what I want you to take from this call of Peter today is listen to God as he's calling you. Follow him. Let's not get sidetracked into other people's. So we want to love God, agape love, and also love him phileo love. That of commitment, I've committed to love you, that's a decision. And then also relational love, brotherly love. That, people, is how we want to do it. And then we're not going to concern ourselves with the actions of others and their walk. I'm too busy trying to follow the walk with Jesus. And if I start worrying about everybody else's walk, you know what happens to my walk with Jesus? I get off the path. And so will you. So this is what we're directed here. Do not concern ourselves with the call or path of someone else. Jesus leads each of us on a different path on life's journey. To serve him, our task is to follow Jesus down the path he's leading us on. Okay? Not to be concerned about someone else's journey or someone else's call. but to heed His call to us. Let's pray. Father, help us each one to accept our call. Help us each one to, in accepting our call, to focus on that call and not be looking to the left or to the right. You're concerned about somebody else's call. Instead, Lord,